Hello everyone, so I decided that when it comes to the adult film world, here are things that I have noticed in terms of some of the porn I've seen. I noticed that sometimes that some of the performers allowed the self-imposed camera pressure, as well as the camera pressure from the film crews, to cause them to have a diabolical obsession with making the viewers happy sexually, even if all the co-stars, or at least one of the co-stars, is unhappy sexually. Sometimes you'll hear them say, what they want and need their co-stars to do while looking at the camera, talking to the cameras, if the viewers can talk back to them, we know that they can't. So sometimes when they do their sexual gyrations, so to speak, or, you know, their sexual goofiness, they will look at the camera more than they look at the person that they're having the on-camera sex with. Sometimes there's a battle of strong wills sexually. Sometimes I've noticed that they claim to like a body part, but they are so into having genital strength and hand strength that they underestimate how much their co-star wants them to engage sex on the body part that they brag about enjoying. I think that sometimes they become sexually forgetful, because if you're so into, I have to prove how erection maintaining I can be, it could be clitorially, nipple-wise, penis-wise, then you can't do the body part that you enjoy, and the other body parts you claim to enjoy, you can't do that either. Because I think what happens is, when you're on camera for some of them, often they lose themselves within their co-stars, meaning they're not being sexually true to themselves, because it's all about what I want my co-star to tell me to do. So it's a sexual codependency, I notice. It's like you do everything your co-star tells you to do, even though you're not thinking, what do I sexually want to do? You do what they sexually need you to do, but you're not doing what you sexually, what needs to be sexually done to you. And so I think sometimes with the camera, it's they're rushing. They're being hasty. And when you're sexually hasty and rushing, you're not going to be able to fully enjoy the sex on camera, off camera, because it's like, oh, wow, I'm bragging off camera. I should like the body part. It could be chest, buttocks, thighs, belly, etc. But a part of you feels depleted because you were so busy allowing the camera pressure to make you feel like subconsciously, I don't have the liberty to fully enjoy the body parts I claim to when it comes to my lips, when it comes to my tongue, when it comes to my mouth, when it comes to my fingertips, when it comes to the palm of my hands, when it comes to my hands, the back of my hands, my wrists, my feet, the genitalia in terms of expressing enjoyment of these body parts, you know, partialism, they feel inadequate because it's easy to psych yourself up and talk about it as if you're really about it. It meaning, I love the body parts, right? Because that's one of the biggest obsessions you see in that world. But when it's time for the camera, they become camera shy. They make it look like, no, I'm camera extroverted. No, you're actually camera shy because you're not fully doing what you claim to be doing in the start of the video. They'll brag about it to the cameraman. They'll brag about it to their co-star. And sometimes when they're forced to sexually be about what they sexually talk about, they get offended because deep down, they're battling bad sexual training versus, okay, who am I sexually, independent of this sexually bad training? So they also, like, some co-stars get upset because they feel like, who is this person to have me do what I claim to do? And sometimes what they do to prove themselves is everything about the sex is a haste, right? So any sex act, you notice how overly fast they do it and overly fast they pull back. Like if you lick, the tongue touches the chest too fast and it goes right back to the mouth too fast because they're trying so hard to, but I gotta be aggressive with my hard on and erection, da 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 da. But you're not slowing down and saying, you know what, don't let the camera time make you sexually monstrous. It's like, okay, there's plenty of time to enjoy the person's chest with your tongue. Slow it down. And don't let the camera people make you feel like, well, you got 10 more minutes, you got 5 more minutes, you got 15, 20 more minutes. It's like, I understand movies have time constraints, but when you're overly time conscious, then what you will fail to do is fully please your co-star with your tongue. So it's kind of like, for me, let's say I do adult films, right? What I would do is, I couldn't do a film that was just 30 minutes, 20, 15. I'm like, no, I need longer. Give me about an hour with my co-stars. I need an hour because anything 30 minutes or under, it means that I'm so busy trying to get an orgasm from one central location in one location. I'm not trying to get orgasms everywhere. I should feel the orgasms in all of my limbs. I should feel it in all of my organs. I should feel it in my inner life everywhere, my outer life everywhere, my whole body, my whole spirit. I should feel it everywhere. That I want that type of orgasm, not just, well, I come and I'm done because of my penis and testicles. No. So I really had to learn that for me, when if I had co-stars, and they gave me specific instructions, what I would do is I wouldn't brag about anything. I would just show you, this is, you know for certain I like this body part because I don't brag about it. You just experience it on camera. And for me, with my co-stars too, I would tell them, you know, I'm not really much a trash talker when it comes to sex. Because some people do that, but that's not who they really are sexually. It's a part of sexually bad training. It's one thing to naturally sexually trash talk, as long as it's not curtailing the humanity of your co-star, and not even your own humanity, and not even the humanity of the film crew, the whole porn staff. Okay, that's fine. But if that's not you, don't do that. Don't feel like, oh my God, the viewers own my sexuality and not me. The porn staff, the porn leadership, the porn film crews, and the co-stars, and this porn studio, this porn set, they all own my sexuality except me. So for me, I would tell the co-stars, hey, you know, sex is a multi-project activity. Sex is a multi-work activity. Sex is a multitasking activity. Sex is a multi-assignment activity. Sex is a multi-homework activity. Sex is like a multi-exams activity. Sex is a multi-quiz activity. I'm not saying treat sex like the failure complex. I'm not talking about treat sex from an apocalyptic context. No. What I'm saying is that sex has its own multiple choice. Sex has its own written answers. Sex has its own alphabetical order. Sex has its own number list, you know. And what I'm saying is just like, you know how when you're in school, you have a list of answers when it comes to the question. But in this case, y'all can create all those answers, and you get to decide what the written answers will be. You get to decide what the multiple choices are. You get to decide the circles you fill in and what they are sexually. You get to decide all the numbers of the sex. I'm not saying treat your co-star as if they are a burger wrapper that you put on the city trash bin. What I'm saying is that, like, you're in school, you're taught 1, 2, 3s, and you're taught ABCs. You get to create your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s when it comes to sex between you and whoever you're with. So when I look at how, what I've seen in a lot of porn, I've noticed that a lot of times with their co-star, your co-star could be about to gyrate you. They're about to do the on top position. And I noticed that sometimes even the changing positions is too fast, too aggressive, because of the needless time restraints. And it's like, okay, give that person time to mentally transition as well as physically transition when it comes to sex positions. Don't overly state, get on top. I'm like, no. Don't mind abuse, mind control, and mind game that person. Because a lot of times when you treat sex as if the end of the world is coming, no pun intended, then what you'll do wrongly is sexually, psychologically manipulate. Like, don't sexually mind game, don't sexually mind abuse, don't sexually mind control somebody. And sometimes with the sex too, they're so busy being sensually impulsive, erotically compulsive, because they feel like, I have to live up to a sexual image that's not 100% me. I have to be of a sexual likeness that truly has nothing to do with me. So a lot of times when they feel like sexually I can't be myself, it's because a lot of times for some people growing up, they were taught if you are big into your tongue in terms of usage during sex, then somehow you're subhuman, or they question your gender, they question your sexuality. And so they feel like they can't be erotically poetic with whoever they're with. They feel like, well, I have to be sexually violent, meaning the violent penetration, violent grabbing, violent holding, violent grasping, violent smacking, violent slapping, violent spanking, violent rubbing, violent licking, violent staring, violent ogling, violent looking, violent ejaculations, violent orgasms, violent thrusting, violent slurping, violent sucking, violent drinking, violent swallowing, violent tasting, violent touching, violent hearing, violent smelling, violent sight, seeing, violent bodies, violent hearts, violent minds, violent souls, violent memories, all sexually speaking, and violent caressing, violent touching heads, violent hugging, violent gliding, violent riding, violent striving, violent striding. It's just that is what they're taught when you come from sexually dysfunctional backgrounds. And sexual dysfunctional people taught you how to be sexually dysfunctional. For some, it carries on onto the camera, film footage. And then I've noticed how, when it comes to the sex, that even at times, what they will do is, a co-star will tell you what to do, but you tell your co-star what to do after they tell you what to do. You only tell them what to do because they told you what to do first, so you feel like I gotta tell you what to do second. And then another thing I've noticed is they use violent pop culture references. They compare the way they talk about slippery, wet umbrellas, I've heard, referring to ejaculation, but the way they say it, it's reducing your co-star to a weather tool. And I noticed that when it comes to the sex too, they misprocess sexual information that they're being verbally, non-verbally communicated to them by their co-stars, because it's like everybody is playing the role of a false sex coach. So you have some people who are sexually dysfunctional film crews in porn, and you have some people who are sexually dysfunctional co-stars, and you have sexually dysfunctional porn leadership. They're all at the studio sexually reprimanding you without tactfulness, and they're all sexually control freaking you, and they're all being domineering when it comes to all your sex acts, all your sex positions, all your sex speech, all your sex sounds. it's like you're, that's sexual overload. And there's also sexual underload when you're just, man, I'm just so grateful that I could be inside this person right now, da 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 da. That means you're going to miss the sexual signs, the sexual wonders, the sexual blessings, the sexual miracles, and the sexual breakthroughs that you need to do for your co-star. That means that you're not going to have sexual life skills. That means you're not able to be sexually interpersonal, sexually sensual, sexually erotic, sexually romantic, sexually intellectual, sexually emotional, sexually spiritual, sexually theoretical, sexually philosophical, sexually ideological. You're not going to have sexual resonance, sexual relatability, nor sexual relevance to that other person, those other people. And you're going to miss your own social cues and the social cues of whoever you're with, because you don't know how to have a nonverbal sexual conversation. You don't even know how to have a verbal sexual conversation. So it's all about, they think that a sexual conversation is sexual dictation. And then I've noticed that they don't say how they truly feel. It's like your co-star should not keep telling you to communicate everything that's going on in your head regarding how the person is climaxing you inside or on the outside. It's always, if you tell me to say what's in your head, notice, it's usually not a compliment. It's a command. They think that all commands are compliments, which is untrue. Instead of, well, the only way I can respond in this camera sex right now is to tell the person what to do. That's all you can do. You can't compliment without being bossy. Just a why not give a complimentary encouragement? Oh man, I'm glad that we're gonna keep doing such and such, instead of, tell me what you like. And they always say give it to me, like that's it. They already are giving it to you, so why not just compliment the fact that they are satisfying you? Because I think a lot of times in that world too is an inability to, this is all off the top of my head, I feel like a lot of times they have this strange inability to allow themselves to sexually just be sexually let go, but they're sensually inhibited instead of being sensually uninhibited. They engage in erotic entrapment instead of erotic liberation. So for me, when it comes to what is happening in that world too, I've learned that I also think that they should have sex scene experts, love scene experts, to be helpful on these adult film sets, television sets, and movie sets to help us, like a future intimacy professional, us intimacy professionals out. And then when I think about they tend to, when they talk, for example, sometimes sex has its clumsy moments, like maybe you're trying to go down on a person and their genitals might be too much on your jaw and you're trying to set it normally so you can go down the person. They might verbally try to speed you up so viciously. They might say, like, chase it down or wolf it down or stomach it. And it makes one feel like they suffer from sexual perfectionism. They suffer from sexual fatalism. They suffer from sexual no-win scenarios. They suffer from sexual cognitive biases. They suffer from sexual confirmation bias. They suffer from sexual gaslighting. They suffer from sexual toxic positivity. They suffer from sexual cynicism. They suffer from sexual defeatism. They suffer from sexual pessimism. They suffer from sexual negativism. They suffer from sexual doom and gloom. They suffer from sexual predestinarianism. They suffer from sexual necessitarianism. They suffer from passive sexual acceptance. They suffer from passive sexual resignation. Yeah, the sexual negativism. And they suffer from sexual reclusion, sexual schadenfreude, sexual sourdade. They suffer from sexual weltschmerz, sexual mono aware. They suffer from sexual tribalism, sexual elitism, sexual favoritism, sexual cronyism, sexual nepotism, sexual clanism, sexual otherism, sexual betterism, sexual us versus them, sexual Armageddon. They treat each other as if they're these sexual antichrists, I've noticed. And they're basically sexual bad trees bearing sexual bad fruit. Sexual blind guides, sexual blind fools, sexual wolves in sexual sheep's clothing, sexual hypocrites, sexual brood of vipers, sexual serpents, sexual snakes, and they're sexual whitewashed tombs. And they're sexual sly foxes. And they perish in their own sexual battlefield within these sexual war zones that they create. they're basically sexual hell on earth. I thought about how within that said world, when I think of I noticed that within that world where many of the people in the industry are not careful, you can be sexual energy vampires, sexual vermin, and sexual vultures. They're like sexual dogs trampling you into pieces. It's like the sexual hidden dragon, sexual pouncing tiger, sexual roaring lions. The way they go about these things, it reveals that people turn sex into personality disorders. People turn sex into anxiety disorders. People turn sex into mood disorders. People turn sex into psychosis. People turn sex into paranoia. People turn sex into suicide. People turn sex into suicide ideation. People turn sex into cognitive problems. People turn sex into psychotic disorders. People turn sex into eating disorders. People turn sex into body dysmorphic disorder. People turn sex into performance anxiety. People turn sex into rape trauma syndrome, RTS. People turn sex into trauma triggers. People turn sex into trauma stressors. People turn sex into trauma reminders. People turn sex into trauma builders. People turn sex into post-traumatic stress disorder. People turn sex into traumatic coupling. People turn sex into flashbacks. People turn sex into panic attacks. People turn sex into heart attacks. People turn sex into emotional self-dysregulation. People turn sex into acute stress disorder. People turn sex into survivor guilt. People turn sex into repressed memories. People turn sex into trigger warnings. People turn sex into content warnings. People turn sex into hypervigilance. People turn sex into social anxiety. People turn sex into general anxiety. People turn sex into depression. People turn sex into the circus. People turn sex into a psychiatric institution. People turn sex into prison. People turn sex into the death penalty, capital punishment. People turn sex into solitary confinement. People turn sex into homicide and homicidal ideation. People turn sex into a dungeon. People turn sex into crucifixion. People turn sex into the guillotine. People turn sex into burning folks at the stake. And people turn sex into bloodlust. People turn sex into stealing, killing, and destroying. People turn sex into plundering, burglarizing, robbing, and being a stick-up kid. People turn sex into the bully's playground at recess. I noticed that people turn sex into a street fight, knife fight, gun fight, grenade fight, bomb fight, fire fight, Molotov cocktail fight. And they turn sex into world wars. They turn sex into the military armed forces. People turn sex into Mortal Kombat. People turn sex into martial arts. People turn sex into kickboxing. You see a lot of that in a lot of the porn that's out here. People even turn sex into the lion's den. They even turn sex into a volcanic eruption. A lot of times when people turn sex into Resident Evil being zombified, people turn sex into technology, meaning let's turn sex into, we're all laptops in human form, we're all computers in human form, we're all robots in human form. We're all machines in human form. We're all items in human form. We're all things in human form. We're all luggage in human form. We're all baggage in human form. We're all suitcases in human form. We're all washcloths and towels in human form. We're all toothpaste and toothbrush in human form. We're all water floss and dental floss in human form. We're all napkins, tissues, and handkerchiefs in human form. That's how people treat sex. A lot of them. Outside of sex and outside of the porn sex and inside the porn sex. And a lot of times, let's turn sex into trash. Let's turn sex into recycled bin material. Let's turn sex into flush it down to the sewage plant. They treat sex like a natural disaster. They treat sex like a tsunami. They treat sex like a flood. They treat sex like an earthquake. They even treat sex like wildfire. They treat sex like volcanic activity. They treat sex like tropical cyclone. They treat sex like drought. They treat sex like a tornado. They treat sex like lightning. They even treat sex like thunder. They treat sex like the famine. They treat sex like the plague. They treat sex like the gas chamber. They treat sex like the Holocaust. They treat sex like the Atlantic slave trade. They treat sex like the Dark Ages. They treat sex like the Spanish Inquisition. They treat sex like manifest destiny. They treat sex like the Crusades. These are all of my colorful metaphors to describe how internally dangerous and externally hazardous that sexual regimes are. So I'm not using these metaphors to take anybody's ancestral acute traumas, A-C-U-T-E, lightly. What I'm saying is that this is how sex was introduced to us as survivors of sex crimes. That's what it feels like for us. And I don't do pain comparisons. I don't do human comparisons. I'm saying that when you've been sex crimed, or maybe you weren't sex crimed, but something sexually diabolical happened to you. Like, you had sex with a desensitized lover, an insensitive lover, you'll feel similar feelings. So they treat sex like the gas chamber. I mean, they really do. So what I want to say moving forward, when it comes to like adult films, I must tell you what I struggled with. I struggled with the most was the sexually transmitted infections / diseases concern. Because a lot of people will have concerns about me doing that kind of work. And I have those same concerns too. So let's share these concerns in common, shall we? We're going to have common ground on making sure that I am sexually well protected. Okay? I strongly agree with you in advance. Let me explain. I talked about how I was afraid of doing that work the most because I didn't want to feel like I was a bad role model for children. Like, okay, you survived all these sex crimes and then you put yourself in a situation where you got gonorrhea. Thanks a lot for being my hero, Antonio. I didn't want kids to feel that way. I'm not saying you can't have something sexually transmitted happen to you and go on to do great things. Like, Magic Johnson is an excellent example of a positive person who, yes, the HIV happened, but he's still using entrepreneurship to improve the lives of all marginalized communities. And his marriage is thriving, his relationship with his children is thriving, his businesses are thriving, and he's still a motivational speaker, and he's still helping people to use their gifts wisely, correctly, honestly, and truthfully, and factually, evidentially. So there's an example right there. But what I want to say is this, is that I was afraid of catching things like syphilis, AIDS. And so I was thinking to myself, I didn't want to put myself in extremes because my childhood is filled with extremes. You all know what those are. So I decided either I can do very extremely tiny amounts of adult films, and that could be like my middle ground to, you know, put out artful adult cinema, or the scary thought was I may not be able to do what my survivors are asking me to do, or my sensory have individuals asking me to do. So I struggled with that because I was like, well, I understand that because I have star power, they're gonna want like full time, like you gotta be on set every time, we want all performers on set. And my concern was, well, I have higher callings and higher careers upon my life where that may physically prevent me from being there as often as the porn companies say to come, no pun intended. And well, you can also say pun intended in a sense too. But when I feel like for me that I wanted to balance the other things that take up the majority of my time and treat adult cinema like a fun hobby that I occasionally do on the side. I barely do it. I don't do it all that much. I don't do it very often, seldom, you know, very seldom. So that was a hard one for me, and I really share that concern. I don't want to endanger anybody or have anybody scared, because I don't want to endanger myself and myself scared. So what I'm called to do is not completely easy. There's so many ultimate complexities in my life. I have way more gray areas in my life than most people do, because most people don't know the kind of life I live. So I share those concerns, and that's why I decided either very instead of very, what's another word? I don't have to limit my vocabulary. Exceedingly small. Well, exceedingly minute is another way of making sure my vocabulary stays up. My exceedingly minute amount of boiling hot filmography. There we go. And so I really had a hard time with that. I really do. Balancing how porn star by nature I am. This I was made. And then at the same time, I can really understand why people would go, Tono, that's very risky, man, because there's a lot of incurable STDs, STIs. I'm like, I know. That's why I was like, well, as long as I keep it in short bursts, I should be fine, because I would never put myself, anybody, in a situation where there was no pill taken or shot injected. Because if there's nothing that they're using at all, I'm like, oh no, no, this is not going to work. At least put something medically effective in you for us to even consider having camera sex with each other. Because if it's just totally unprotected, my response is hell no. Mm-mm. My life is not worth all that mayhem. So a lot of people would think, but Antonio, aren't you called to public office? Aren't you called to house of worship? And here's the thing. I have a complex calling, right? So I feel like when I explain why they're survivors, you know, people with all kinds of disability labels, people have gone through all kinds of abuse, people of all kinds of ailments are saying, Antonio, can you have cinematography that is of the rated X nature, but it's tailor-made just for us? I'll explain to them, it's not about rubbing fornication in anybody's faces. It's not about shoving down, womanizing, manizing, non-baronizing down people's throats at all. It's, we have all kinds of people who are made to feel like that they are, who are made to feel like we're sexually subdued by force. That's how we were made to feel our lives. I'm doing this for people who are, for people like me, who are, we were made to feel like we were sexually subdued by force, sexually repressed, sexually suppressed, sexually quelled, sexually quashed, sexually put down, sexually put an end to, sexually crushed, sexually squashed, sexually extinguished, sexually stamped out, sexually put a stop to, sexually stopped, sexually in, sexually nip in the bud, sexually defeat, sexually conquered, sexually rout, sexually overpowered, sexually overwhelmed, sexually triumphed over, sexually trounced, sexually vanquished, sexually get the better of, sexually contained, sexually gain control over, sexually gain mastery over, sexually squelched, sexually oppressed, sexually subjugated, sexually hold down, sexually keep down, sexually rule with a rod of iron, sexually rule with an iron hand, sexually dominated, sexually intimidated, sexually mastered, sexually dominated over, sexually tyrannized, sexually subjected, sexually overcome, sexually restrained, sexually constrained, sexually restricted, sexually constricted, sexually prevented, sexually inhibited, the expression or development of us sexually speaking, sexually tarnish a sexual thought, sexual feeling, sexual desire in ourselves so that it becomes remain sexually unconscious, which also sexually subconsciously happened to us, not just sexually consciously happened to us. We're made to feel like we were sexually corked up, sexually keep the lid on, sexually button up, sexually frustrated, sexually bottled up, sexually hidden, sexually concealed, sexually gagged, sexually strangled, sexually choked back, sexually swallowed, no pun intended, like, I mean that traumatically. Sexually smothered, sexually stifled, sexually stymied, sexually muffled, sexually silenced, sexually contained, sexually reined in, sexually curbed, sexually keep under abusive control, sexually controlled, sexually checked wrongly, sexually keep in check badly, sexually, we felt like we had to sexually fight back, sexually bite back, no, traumatically speaking, sexually hold in, sexually keep back, sexually hold back. That's how we're made to feel. So that's who I want to do these adult films for, people like us. And imagine you're made to feel like your whole entire body. Like, we were made to feel like we were ugly in body, unattractive in body, ill-favored in body, hideous in body, unlovely in body, unprepossessing in body, unsightly in body, displeasing in body, disagreeable in body, horrible in body, frightful in body, awful in body, ghastly in body, gruesome in body, grisly in body, unpleasant in body, foul in body, nasty in body, grime in body, vile in body, shocking in all the catastrophic ways in body, disgusting in body, revolting in body, repellent in body, repugnant in body, grotesque in body, monstrous in body, reptilian in body, misshapen in body, deformed in body, disfigured in body, not much to look at in body, short on looks in body, as you know, fugly in body, no oil painting in body, huckery in body. Imagine society telling you you're ill, you're plain, look, you're plain feature. Oh my God, you're plain looking. You're as ugly as sin. You're as plain as a pike staff. That, you know, they even would tell us, beautiful never applies to you. Attractive never has anything to do with you. You are involving or likely to involve violence and other unpleasantness because of you. You're just unpleasant or repulsive, especially in your appearance. They'll basically say your bodies are menacious, direful, sinister, ominous, hostile, menacing, threatening, perilous, dangerous, grave, serious, charged, tense, disagreeable, alarming. There's nothing pleasant about your body. There's nothing calm about your body. There's nothing peaceable about your body. That's who I want to do adult films for, people like us. I want to do webcam modeling for people like me, because we know what it's like for life, for us, against us, to have it sexually hazy, sexually cloudy, sexually foggy, sexually murky, sexually misty, sexually unclear, sexually overcast, sexually steaming. Not in the typical sense, in the nightmare sense, sexually filmy, no pun intended, in the unideal sense, sexually gauzy, sexually vaporous, sexually smoky, sexually dim, sexually dull, sexually indistinct, sexually smoggy, sexually fumy, sexually crepuscular, sexually bleary, sexually nebulous, sexually shadowy, sexually dusky, sexually obscure, sexually thick, in all of the broken-hearted ways, sexually opaque, opaque, sexually frosty, sexually veiled, sexually blurred, sexually semi-transparent, sexually blurry, sexually faint. To have it sexually dark, meaning not skin color, I'm talking about heartache, not have it sexually clear, not have it sexually bright, and not have it sexually cloudless. I want to do sex surrogate partner therapy for us who have the yearning to know that despite all of the sexual mayhem, all the erotic calamities, all the sensual chaos, that we can be sexually healthful, sexually nutritious, sexually restorative, sexually sanitary, sexually hygienic, sexually salutary, sexually invigorating, sexually tonic, sexually stimulating, sexually bracing, sexually salubrious, sexually wholesome, sexually beneficial, sexually health-giving, sexually nutritive, sexually nourishing, sexually energy-giving, sexually fresh, sexually pure, non-religiously speaking, sexually clean, non-religiously speaking, sexually corrective, non-religiously speaking, sexually cathartic, sexually therapeutic, sexually sedative, sexually regenerative, sexually substantial, sexually sustaining, sexually benign, sexually healthy, sexually good for us, sexually desirable, sexually harmless, sexually innocuous, non-religiously speaking, sexually healing, non-religiously speaking, sexually preventive, sexually disease-free, sexually unpolluted, sexually unadulterated, sexually favorable. And that we don't have to live lives of being sexually unhealthy, sexually sickly, and sexually unwholesome. And us survivors, we know what it's like to be prude shamed so coldly, so gracelessly, and that is what I want to convey to so many people that may feel like, well, you're just doing adult films because of and webcam modeling and sex surrogacy just to be a sexual shock jock. No, I'm doing something that's never been done before in that world of X18 plus. Another struggle I had was some of the categories. I don't mind older women being in porn. I don't have a problem with that. But not every older woman is a mother. So MILF is not something that we should go around calling every older woman. There are older women who are mothers who like the term. There are older women who are mothers who dislike the term. There are older women who are not mothers who like the term. There are older women who are not mothers who dislike the term. Okay, when it comes to the concept of ebony, some black people love that word being applied to them, and some black people dislike that word being applied to them. So we shouldn't call every black person ebony. Even the song Ebony and Ivory doesn't make all black people happy. My segue is next is interracial. Like, there's nothing wrong with interracial relationships. There's nothing wrong with interracial relations. There's nothing wrong with interracial marriages. There's nothing wrong with interracial dynamics. The problem is when we turn interracial into your blackness is only virtuous if a white woman wants to sleep with you, or your whiteness is your brightness if a black man wants to sleep with you? I'm like, black men and white women should not be treated as rewardable prizes in human form. So I don't mind interracial, but when we objectify it, that is human rights abusing to me. Next is BBW. Some women like the term, who are not the size society says they should be, and there are some women who are not the size society says they should be, who dislike the term. So we can't call every woman that they're the size society says they shouldn't be that term. Next, is the adultery one. I understand that ethical non-monogamy exists. So if you're gonna have sex and your life partner, unmarried, or your spouse is in on it, they're totally cool with it, and it actually, it's one of the marriage enhancers, one of the unmarried life partnership enhancers, then fine. But I've always had trouble with adultery because it's like, there are people who have actually been victimized by the trauma called adultery. And actually, people who have faced virtual affairs, emotional affairs, and sexual affairs in person, that's one of the groups of people like me, you know the story, that I want, that I need to do webcam modeling, adult films, and sex surrogate C4. So I don't want to take lightly anybody's distress. So for me, instead of the adultery porn category, I think they should have the ethical non-monogamy porn category. Like, you can have extramarital sex as long as your significant other is fine with it. To me, extramarital sex is better that way, when you don't have to be sneaky, cunning, or devious about it. But to glorify sneaky, devious, cunning sex can actually re-traumatize and re-victimize those who have already endured adultery in real life. So I've always had a problem because of that. Next is when they talk about, like, it's basically, here's the best way I could say it. They call it big dick category. That's what they call it. And for me, I don't mind all sizes of genitalia in porn. That's fine. I want to say this real quick. I don't mind ethical non-monogamy porn. Okay, let me get back to what I'm saying now. I don't mind all sizes of genitalia in porn. The problem is when there's a creation of hyper-masculine penis envy, the belittling of those who have little testicles, or pint-sized penises. And I say that respectfully. But measure-wise, that would be the case. And for me, that's something people got to consider. It's obvious that there are all kinds of appearances of genitalia in porn, but we have to be careful what we fetishize. And I feel that way, like, if you have big boobs category that they have in porn, it makes it look like you're a real woman if you have big boobs. If you have small boobs, you ain't no real woman. No, we don't want to misportray womanhood and femininity that way, or and at all. So I don't mind all sizes of chest in porn, but when we gotta be mindful not to cross the line, even in terms of sexual entertainment. Another one I wrestled with was so the incest porn category. I learned that the incest porn category has traumatized and victimized so many people, because many people know what it's like to sleep with a person. You never knew that was your sibling until they were on ancestry.com, or they took some DNA examination testing, or there was a family tree conversation at the family dinner table, or, you know, some people may look like you, but they may not be your blood, and some people may look like you and be your blood, right? In that case, many people that look like each other didn't know that they were relatives of each other. They got attracted to each other, sex with each other, and then they end up being scarred for life because they found out, oh my God, you're my cousin. Oh my God, you're my sister. Oh my God, you're my brother. Oh my God, you're my nephew. Oh my God, you're my aunt. Oh my God, you're my dad. Oh my God, you're my mom. That stuff has happened. I'm not being funny. That's real. Those are some sexual and all around traumas that a lot of people have endured. It's just very much kept under wraps. But how I know these things, being a 5-year-old in the crime world, that is self-explanatory. So, and how do I know about the adultery pain? Being 5 years old and what happened to me in college, that's self-explanatory too. So when I think about what has happened about the incest porn category, I don't like it, because even the whole finding the incestuous trauma entertaining is something I can't entertain. It's a human rights violation, it's a crime, and I can't defend it at all. So I get that. You know, I get that that could really hurt a lot of people. So there's just no way that I can justify it on any grounds. Some fantasies are unhealthy. Not all sexual fantasies are wholesome. So I don't want to trivialize or minimize the pain, the trauma, the torture of incest. Now, in like focess, some people go, that's a porn term for, they're not, the actors and actresses are not biologically related to each other, but they're playing an incestuous role. I still can't defend that for the obvious reasons. Next, the teen porn category. I don't mind adults having sex. 18, 19, 20, 21, up. Okay, as long as you're legal, okay. But when we fetishize teenagers, that can easily satisfy the perversion, deviancy urges of statutory rapists and pedophiles. because they hear the word teen. They don't hear 18 and 19 the way most people do. Okay, that's a grown person. They hear the teen word and go, ooh, I'm going to pursue that child. And pursue means rape. So I don't fetishize any group of people. I think that is disdainful and distasteful to do. So for me, it's like, okay, grown people of all ages in porn, all right, but don't be sick with it. You know, don't be a sicko about it. That's what I'm saying. And speaking of sickos, what I'm disturbed by is that there are some mainstream porn sites that have a history of being caught having child sexual abuse on their websites, their platforms. And that's really disheartening to me, because if you're going to have the restricted to adults RTA label on your site, it makes no sense that you contradict that, you know, a better word is hypocritically, with virtual pedophilia, virtual statutory rape. Virtual in this case means video. You have audio statutory rape, audio pedophilia. And because they may provide some transcripts on their videos, you have transcripted written pedophilia, transcripted written statutory rape. And it truly infuriates me endlessly. And the more I heal, the more my righteous indignation grows towards such prostitution of children. For the web to behold. Ugh. So the struggle I had is, and I know a lot of people will look at this as a sincere struggle. Many people are saying, Antonio, but if you do mainstream porn, some of your stuff might be on there, might be next to, you know, video form sex crimes. And I've battled with that too. I thank you for mentioning that, because I have that same healthy outrage that you have. And that's why I have to really talk to these mainstream porn people, because when I say mainstream porn people, it's not the you people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying adults in the mainstream porn world is a better way of saying it. I'll have to talk to them about this kind of stuff. Like, if you're going to want me to do business with you, I need to know that there is no sex crimes of any kind as a part of your platform, as a part of your business, as a part of your website, because I'm not going to have my videos next to a 13-year-old's who's with a 50-year-old man. No. That's why I decided, you know, I want to be an adult content creator, ethical adult. I want to create ethical adult content. Therefore, I'm an ethical adult content creator, where if I create my own site, my own platform, that's a better way to really avoid all that. And at the same time, I struggle with, what if my stuff gets stolen? You know, let me tell you what piracy means. I think people need to know what I'm talking about when I talk about it. So piracy, at times it's referred to as copyright infringement. So let me read to you the adult entertainment version of copyright infringement, put some more words. porn copyright infringement, at times referred to as porn piracy, is the use of porn works protected by porn copyright without permission for a porn usage where such permission is required, thereby infringing certain porn exclusive rights granted to the porn copyright holder, such as the right to pornographically reproduce, pornographically distribute, pornographically display, or pornographically perform the porn protected work, or to make porn derivative works. The porn copyright holder is typically the porn works creator or porn publisher of the porn business to whom porn copyright has been pornographically assigned. Porn copyright holders routinely invoke legal and technological measures in the name of porn to prevent and penalize porn copyright infringement. So, porn copyright infringement disputes are usually resolved through direct porn negotiation, a notice and takedown process of the porn, or litigation in the name of porn in civil court. So, pornographically egregious or pornographically large-scale commercial infringement, especially when it evokes porn counterfeiting, is sometimes prosecuted via the criminal justice system when it comes to porn. That's what that means. And so I've wrestled with that. How do I love my survivors in the adult film version, the adult film way, and at the same time, not have our tailor-made, just-for-us adult films be stolen, because that's more traumas and more agonies and more anguish and more angst that we have to heal from. And I don't want to put us in such said scenarios. And so this is hard. This is a hard issue. We have survivors and sensory-friendly people, and people have been made to feel ugly, sexually unwanted, and not the standards of society's ideal beauty, saying, Antonio, this is a part of our sexual healing. No diss to Marvin Gaye. I'm talking about sexual healing from sexual rape trauma. Balancing that, then you have to balance legally protecting us survivors, and then balancing how to go about our works in a way that mainstream porn can't easily take our stuff. Like, that's why I would love to, have like a piracy combating team where we sue when we have to. And so it's kind of like mainstream porn asking me, could I work with them? I would have some very much human rights centered boundaries. Like, if you're gonna put no kids on your shit. No kids on your shit. Second, put me in the categories I wanna be put in, not the ones you assume I should be in. I wanna be in porn categories I can easily defend. Three, if you see anybody take my stuff, like, I need y'all to regularly look to see if anybody's trying to take the films that have me in it. And if so, sue them immediately, right? Well, let me know ahead of time so I can sue them immediately. And let's sue them together, okay? And so I would create that requirement. Another requirement is this. I would go, well, okay. Another thing is, since it's your company, you're gonna make most of the money, right? But you have to give us fair percentage deal. Like, you make a reasonable percentage. I make a reasonable percentage every time. You get a cut of the money. I also get a cut of the money. And it's fair on remuneration. It's fair compensation. And my last requirement would be also... I would say this also, this might not be my last requirement, that's what I'm thinking, that people need to have the kind of porn where survivors of narcissism, psychopathy, sociopathy, and sociopathy when it comes to sex, sexuality, eroticism, sensuality, they don't feel re-triggered, re-trauma triggered even. And I would tell them, hey, we gotta make the kind of porn where people don't feel trauma triggered up the wazoo. So these are all my requirements, and they're all reasonable. Like, you know, if we're gonna do videos, like, make sure that the tags, the descriptions, the porn names, the way people are marketed, and the porn titles are easily defendable. That way we don't have to work so hard to go, well, we said this, and try to come up with these nonsensical loopholes that aren't loopholes at all. So I would say, yeah, we got to keep in mind, we got to put it in a way that people won't fight over. You put it this way, put it that way, they can just enjoy the video. We want to create stuff where people can easily enjoy what we're doing and not feel like they're in a bind or in bondage because of it. They're not caught up, oh my God, you worded this way. That I'm like, no, everything worded is extremely respectful, right? So these are all my requirements. Well, more requirements, because I mentioned most of them in the last episode. So like I said, if they object to like one of these requirements, I'm not ever doing business with them. As for the Avian Awards, here's my other requirement. Make sure we give awards to intimacy coordinators, intimacy choreographers, intimacy directors, intimacy professionals, intimacy coaches, intimacy experts, sensual coaches, eroticism coaches, and pleasure coaches. I think they all should, yes, be in adult films sets, helping us out, television sets, movie sets, yes. But they should be rewarded too. I agree with Erica Less, but these kind of people should be rewarded too. So, you're probably wondering, you know, Antonio, what about ethical porn, feminist porn, all the other kind of porn, like independent porn, gonzo porn, sex positive porn? Well, their values are much more aligned with mine. Very much aligned with mine. So it won't be hard at all to talk to them about this kind of stuff, because they feel exactly what I feel. They'll feel it even more once I talk to them. So it's kind of like for me when I was starting this porn journey, if you want to call it that. As I got older, I wanted to be more of an independent, you know, I want to be a healthy porn independent contractor where I can work with whoever I damn well please that's of integrity. I don't want to have to sign a contract where it's possible that I have to work with scumbags, or to be stronger in language, shitbags. So I, you know, truly figured out that, you know, it's so important for me to you know, be in situations where I can provide well-balanced porn, well-balanced erotica, well-rounded porn, well-rounded erotica, well-adjusted porn, well-adjusted erotica, well-unified porn, well-unified erotica, right? I think that needs to be created. Then you're asking, Antonio, what if you meet the love of your life before all these things happen? It won't be a problem for me to delegate these responsibilities to other people who are never getting married. I'm like, y'all take the reign. I provide the ideas. Y'all go make it happen. I got my one and only to be romantic with, committed to. So that's not a problem at all. What if it happens, you know, while the time your stuff comes out with videos? Simple. I'll just say, hey, before I met you, this is how my whole life went. This is why I was in this. This is why I was in that. I don't have a problem explaining stuff, as you can tell. So with my one and only, wouldn't be any different, right? I wouldn't feel any shame. It's like, well, this is how life was for me. And I don't think I would be with a person that could not relate to me. She, you know, the person would be a version of me, but still their own person. You know, they would understand them, and I would understand, and they would understand me. I would understand them, they would understand me, you know. So I don't have a problem with delegating when I need to. It's not a problem. Sometimes people come up with ideas and eventually have to delegate them to other people because of life circumstances. And other times you come up with the idea and do the ideas with other people. So I'm open to any of these things happening to me. You know, I don't have a problem with fidelity at all. Fidelity is one of my strengths. I'm just more sensitized to it than most people because, one, my nature. Two, the unnatural traumas. No trauma is natural in my view. And I'm okay with it. You know, I can adjust when I need to. Exactly. I don't have to feel like, oh man, I don't get to do this stuff in relationship. I don't feel that way. I'd be like, okay, other people get to make this happen. It's still, those dreams are still realized, but I played a role in it by voicing it, and they did the work to make it all real. So either way, I don't feel any trepidation. You know, what if some people don't want to date you because of what you're saying? I'm like, they don't understand the survivor life. They don't understand the autism life. They don't understand the sensory life, and I don't want to be with those people, not even trying to. You know, that's like people saying, but Antonio, growing, you know, when you was a younger man, you noticed I just slept, you slept with a few men, a few transgender people, a few gender non-conforming, non-binary people, and well, somebody don't want to be with you because of that. That's on them. If they don't want to handle it, can't handle it, that's their decision. I just move forward with my life unashamedly of who and what I am. I'm unashamed of my own healing. I am unashamed of my own healing. And then what if somebody's like, but Antonio, the organized crime that you've been through with, all the pain that you suffered when you were a child, and a lot of people don't want to handle that. They're not meant for me, and I'm not meant for them. I'm not everybody's glass of wine, and everybody's not my glass of wine. Either way, I'm a forward motion, forward thinking person. Then some people go, but Antonio, some people feel like they can't be with you because, you know, you're a male rape survivor and you have autism. I don't want to be with phobic, bigoted individuals. And phobic, bigoted individuals better not want to be with me. either, you know, I tune them out because they tune me out. That's it. But what if some people don't want to be with you because you had these adult film aspirations? That means they are willingly, woefully ignorant, consciously speaking, of the complexities of marginalized humans. Because they don't have that kind of empathy, I want nothing to do with them, and I'm thankful they want nothing to do with me. Lastly, then I'll get back to the adult film conversation. Some will say, what if you have children? I'm always age appropriate with children. Always happen, always will be. Number two, when they're of age, we'll have the talk. I just won't be graphic details about the general conversation. And the kind of kids I would have, let's say that happened, I would have a healthy rapport with them where they won't feel like they hate their dad. It'll be more of, I have a special love for my father because he went through these things and he wants to help people. They won't be ashamed of me. In fact, the kind of love I get from people, they'll protect me and my children. They'll protect my children with me because I bring that out in people. More people want to look out for us than not. So the people that don't want to look out for us, their lives are living hell because people that love me will raise hell on them. And they'll be like, we'll raise hell on them and help and protect your kids with you and protect you with you. We'll protect your friends, your loved ones with you. Y'all not going to be protecting yourselves and each other by yourselves. So I'm not worried about bullying issues. If anything, if I had children, I would tell them, hey, there's certain episodes I don't want y'all to listen to because you don't want to learn certain graphic things about your dad. If you see certain titles, just ignore it. Don't even entertain it. You know, just if you're grossed out, see the title, just be like, I'm not going to, okay? Because there's still boundaries involved. And I would tell them why I did certain episodes, why I said what I said, why I talked the way I talked. Because I wouldn't sugarcoat anything to my children, but I wouldn't give them the kind of details that no parent should give to their kids. You know, so I thought about this intact. That's why this episode is so motherfucking long. So when I think about, okay, what if your mate's family or colleagues, I'll just say, look, because the kind of person that I am, because of how I carry myself, their kind of colleagues would be very understanding because they would, their colleagues like, hey, I heard this. Well, this is what he went through and he, you know, is a good person and he's healing and this and that. The colleagues would go, well, I like him. I don't have a problem. Anybody have a problem with him, I got a problem with them. And even like the boss, I'm not worried about that because who I am, like how I treat people, they would, in their mind, I wish a motherfucker would. When it comes to me, my loved ones, my inner circle, my true friends, and my colleagues that I'm very much endeared to and they're endeared to me, a lot of people would wish that if you try to roll up on Antonio, I'm not advocating violence, but when people love you, they're not going to let anybody just say or do anything that they want badly to you. There's going to be some drastic measures of consequences. So no, I'm not advocating insurrections. I'm not advocating sedition. What I'm saying is when people protect you, right? When people really care for you and about you, they will defend you. If that means if you tried to be violent on Antonio, understand that it might be some pain, so leave him alone. I'm talking about that healthy love that a relative will have for another relative. A friend will have for a friend. A colleague that you really are cool with and you feel that way about that coworker. You know, that kind of thing. Again, I'm not advocating criminality. I'm not advocating bloodshed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when people are safeguarding you, they let certain things be known as a way of saying, I see what you're trying to do to this person, and if I have to go there with you to keep you away from this person forever, you never do this shit again, I fucking will. That's what the fuck happens. So, getting back to the adult film conversation, I really had to come to grips with how that world I struggle with a lot, because it's one thing to be sexually feisty, but they confuse sexual snarkiness with being sexually feisty. I'm like, sexually feisty can be healthy, you know. Healthy aggression, not the bad type, but they take sexual feisty to the extremes where they're sexually snarky, like sexual belittlement, sexual denigration, sexual degradation, and sexual decimation, and sexual desecration. That's sexually feisty in all the immoral ways. For me, as I wrap up, I don't want to be too long. The rest of what I got to say about this will be in the very next episode, okay? What I want to say is this, that there's nothing to worry about when it comes to me sexually. Now explain the rest of the reasons why, like I said for last time, in the very next episode.